The views and comments expressed on the Space Show by its guests, callers, and listeners belong to them. The Space Show and its hosts serve only as a platform and are not responsible for others' comments or views. All topics discussed on the Space Show are primarily for educational purposes.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Start. 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the Space Show with Dr. David Livingston. Broadcasting to 7 continents, consistently bringing you quality news and interviews with the best and brightest minds in the new space economy. Here is the founder and host of the Space Show, the man who best articulates the vision of space commercial enterprise, Dr. David Livingston.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome to our Tuesday evening Space Show program. And I am your host of the program, David Livingston. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Tonight is Open Lines. And we don't usually do Open Lines on Tuesday night. We'll see how it goes. Well, we used to do Open Lines on Tuesday all the time, back when the Space Show was in Tiburon. And we would alternate between Tuesday and Sunday. And so we may try that again, but hopefully you'll give us a call. So the phone number is 1-866, and somebody's actually already calling us, and they're on hold. So, caller, you're on hold. We haven't even gotten through the beginnings of the show yet. You're an eager beaver. 1-866-687-7223 is our toll-free number. That is the preferred way of reaching the show. And email is drspace@thespaceshow.com. And then the blog is thespaceshow.com, all the way over to the far right to upcoming show menus. This is the first show listed. And then you can open it up. It's also the blog page. And all the way down at the bottom is comments, or the comments section. And if you post a comment or a question, I will get it almost as soon as you hit the button for send, and then I can integrate it into the show. But the toll-free number is a preferred way of doing it, 1-866-687-7223. A couple of other little announcements in the upper left menu on our homepage. There is a store under support, and we talk about this all the time. So if you're interested in Space Show t-shirts and logo wear and things like that, look upper left, support, and then Cafe Press. And then in addition, there's Listen Live. That's also in the upper left menu. This tells you how to listen to the live broadcast, compressed MP3 archives, which are on the website, and then podcast, and this includes Alexa for those of you doing Alexa on the TuneIn app. I understand our podcasts are also in something called Google Play, and but I know they're in iTunes as well. And one other thing, all of our podcasts are in the TuneIn app, and Alexa uses TuneIn, but you can use TuneIn for regular podcasting too. And just for a point of record, the Oklahoma Army football game, you all know I'm a big Oklahoma fan, was not broadcast on TV or radio or even on satellite radio this past week. But TuneIn has a contract for carrying Oklahoma football games, so I listened to the entire game. It's not as good as watching it on TV, but I listened on the TuneIn app on my iPhone, and it worked really well. So it's a great little app, and it's free. I have the free version. I'm very happy with it. It's available for Alexa and for our podcast as well. So do remember also we're a 501c3 nonprofit. We're a listener-supported show. Your support keeps us on the air, and without your support, we will not be on the air. And it's a thin line, listeners, because for whatever reason, we kind of struggle from time to time with the Space Show. But if you like our programming, you like talking to our guests and interacting with them, you like using the blog, do help support us because you're the ones who keep us going. So remember, if you pay U.S. federal taxes, you get a tax deduction for your gift. The same is true in California. And it's really important. So all I can say is we thank you very much for your support. And please do support us. Don't rely on other people to support us and listen because other people are paying the bill. Come on, step up and help us out. And hopefully you find the space show of value and worth it for your support. And we'd like to hear from you either way on all of that. So tonight is open lines. I don't have a whole lot of issues to talk to you about. Usually I throw out news issues and you don't want to talk to us about them anyway. You have your own idea of what you would like to talk about. So I'm going to spare you the long litany of news items, but if we start dragging and get a little slow, then I will go through some of the news items that we should throw out there, and maybe some of you will want to talk about. One thing I will tell you is that the Space Show One Giant Leap did have its much, much overdue, very belated board meeting. Again, my fault, but due to a lot of other circumstances over the years, from injuries to illness to moving. Anyway, we are reforming our advisory board, and very shortly, the One Giant Leap Foundation advisory board page will be purged, and I will be starting new. And there are going to be rules for being on the advisory board. It's not going to be like we had it last time. So I can tell you, first of all, we do want people that are involved with the show. The advisory board does not have any formal meetings, although I guess we could call a meeting. But it's also a fundraising tool for the space show. So we expect people to support the show financially, and there'll be information on that. We expect feedback from you. Listen to some of the shows. I think some people on the advisory board don't ever listen to the shows. But we want active people. We want you. It doesn't mean you have to listen to every show or you have to listen to only live shows or anything like that. I mean, I understand that's a real difficult challenge for a lot of people. But I want you to listen to the show. I want you to be able to give us feedback, guest suggestions. A lot of you already do this with me, like John Jossi, who was on the show a week or so ago. He sends great articles that I talk about on the Space Show all the time, and he constantly calls the show. He's a great listener and a great supporter. So, like, he's a natural if he wants to be on the advisory board, and other people, too. So I'm going to put the requirements for being on the advisory board up on the One Giant Leap page. I've asked our website guy for OneGiantLeapFoundation.org to already purge it and to put up the new ones. It won't be limited by the number of people because it is a fundraising tool as well for the space show. So theoretically, if there were 100 people that contributed the minimum requirement and abided by the rules, which are very generous, like you agree to have your name put up on the One Giant Leap Advisory Board webpage so people know who you are, you know, we'd have 100 people on it. So look for that over the next coming weeks, and I will announce it on the space show, and then we can formally accept people who want to live within our rules and want to or are able to support the space show. So I'm just letting you know that has happened. It is now in the works, and I do want a very active, supportive, and very strong, even if it's disagreeing with me, a very strong advisory board. So we do have a caller on hold. I hope he has continued to hold. And so let's see who our first caller is. Hi, caller. Welcome to Open Lines. Who are you? Where are you? And thank you for calling.
This is David in the Seattle area.
Okay.
And it was really hard waiting all that time on hold thinking about Oklahoma football on the TuneIn player.
Well, why do you call when the show starts knowing I have 7 or 8 minutes of announcements to make?
Because I promised you I would call in an email exchange. And this way, if I call now, I can get it over with. And tomorrow morning, I can listen to the rest of the Open Lines on the podcast.
Well, I'm just promoting, and I'm not getting paid to promote TuneIn. They don't even know I exist. I'm probably so small that they've never heard of me.
It wasn't TuneIn that got me excited. It was Oklahoma football for sure.
But, right. Why would you care about Oklahoma football? Did you go to Oklahoma or used to live in Oklahoma?
Never even been there. But let's roll on.
It was too bad that wasn't broadcast. It was really a good game. I wish the Sooners had done much better, but it turned out to be a real interesting game.
I didn't even watch University of Washington football.
Well, there's something wrong with you. You're an out-of-balance space cadet.
I went to every football game when I was an undergrad at the UW, and I marched down there with my fraternity. We sat there in ponchos, got rained on like the bejesus, and drank coffee out of thermoses that was spiked with something.
What fraternity?
And all I remember was Warren Moon was the quarterback. That's all I remember.
He was a famous quarterback. Do I dare ask what fraternity you were in?
Well, of course you can ask. It's ZBT.
So we're fraternity brothers, David.
Well,
from Arizona. From Arizona,
yeah.
I was in Alpha Omicron chapter. I wasn't very active in it. The Greek life from the Parthenon and ancient Greece had more appeal to me than the Greek.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't drink, and I'm not a hellraiser, so I was out of place even in fraternity.
Well, the Zebes at Washington were more of a study kind of fraternity. You know, we had our parties, but we weren't wild.
Arizona
and,
wild.
Anyway. Most of my fraternity brothers and I were second generation Zebes.
Yeah, so we were wild. Arizona was a kind of a party school in many ways, but I didn't even know when I was at Arizona anything about it, space and astronomy and physics and astrophysics and telescope mirror lens making. I didn't know anything about that part of Arizona. Can you believe that? I spent 3 years there, and I was on the liberal arts side in political science and history and government, and I didn't know anything about their space side. If I had, my life might have turned out differently. I just cannot believe. Anyway, that's a whole nother story.
Hey, you know, I grew up, lived in Seattle. I didn't get into technology and software until later in life as a second career. And had I known way back when, you know, I can only say had I known way back when.
That's right.
Yeah.
We'll move on. And then I got into space through a dissertation in a business school. I was never on the science side. But, you know, I was right there in the heart of one of the very best astronomy and physics and astrophysics and telescope and observatory schools in the world. You know, it is Arizona's one of the top 10 maybe. And
right.
I didn't know it. And, man, kicked myself in the butt. But I was having fun out in the desert and the parties at Saguaro National Monument and Park and the girls. And it was okay. Anyway, what's on your mind for space?
Well, as I mentioned to you earlier, that I promised to call in on the next open line because I missed the last open line to talk about my trip to my very first Space Cadet Conference, the Mars Society Conference.
That's right. We met in person there. So what was your take on it?
Well, so all the audience should know that I was fortunate to meet with David. And David is not nearly as old and decrepit as he makes out.
Okay, we'll let it go as that. You should see me now. I've lost 30 pounds since I got tagged as being type 2 diabetic. So I have another 30 pounds to go, but I can't even fit in the clothes that I wore to the Mars Society conference.
Good for you. The second person I met was Dr. Doug Plata.
Okay, he was holding court every place at that conference.
That is amazing, folks, how well Dr. Doug can fill a room with audience.
Absolutely.
And here's the guy that his only tools are a PowerPoint. But he fills the sessions. It was amazing. So kudos to you, Doug.
And out in the hallway, they gather around him, and he has an entourage. He's a very charismatic guy.
So overall, I was really disappointed.
Okay, and
there were some good sessions that were really focused on real technology and real science. And about two-thirds of the sessions, two-thirds of the tracks were kumbaya.
Kool-Aid.
A bunch of freaks that were self-promoting their one-man organizations, or, you know, basically you volunteer, you don't get paid to come present, so you can come talk about the mystical crystals on Mars or something like that. And it was just, I've gone, oh, my God. Now, the technical tracks I went to were really, for the most part, really good. And it was great to see Dr. Brandenburg in person. I could have spent 3 days listening to Dr. Brandenburg.
He packed the room again, too.
Yeah. I was a little disappointed that Gwen Shotwell or Elon Musk didn't put up a cameo appearance. The keynotes generally were pretty good. Poor Bob Zubrin looks really, really frustrated.
And he looked to me, because I see Bob from time to time, and of course I talk to him 3 or 4 times a year, he looked old to me, old and tired.
The only time he had a spring in his step was with the lady lawyer from Luxembourg with a French accent. And the hot red dress kept showing.
Oh, she kept his attention forever.
She was a recruiter.
She was over there.
Sense.
She was over there by the coffee pots and stuff all the time, and you couldn't get an edge in elsewhere with Bob when he was talking with her. I didn't know who she was, so.
I found out towards the end that's who she was. And, you know, just like in the software technology industry, they find the hottest-looking women, they dress them up, you know, to the 10 tenths, and they send them out to talk to the technical talent and see if they can hire them away. And that's what she was doing.
Well, how does that work in the new era of women in the Me Too era? So using women that way.
I have never seen an ugly recruiter.
Yeah. So, they also do the same with booth babes when you have a conference that has booths.
Now
they don't have booths anymore.
But. Like I used to work with at Cisco. I used to work at Cisco. The salespeople now are trending to be a lot younger and a lot more female.
Well, do you ever watch The Big Bang Theory?
No.
Okay, so Penny, who is the one of the stars, she's no longer the only girl star, but she's really beautiful and very, very cute and hot and everything. So she has taken up selling pharmaceuticals to doctors and gives them free samples, and then the doctors prescribe all this crap for their patients. And, of course, all she has to do is turn on the sex appeal and flirt with them. And she talks about this on the air, and her sales, of course, and her commissions are sky high. She's making more money than her physicist husband, Leonard, who is a physicist at Caltech. That's the story. And she does that by flirting and manipulating, you know, the doctors in their office. So that doesn't seem to go over with modern-day women very much. But, I'm sure they know how to recruit these companies, and they know how to sell. Absolutely.
Well, you know, you talk, your average high-tech company is full of single guys who would generally have zero to no social life.
Or skills. Or social skills, probably, either.
And
yeah.
Half of them are single guys from India who, you know, are tired of talking to only other single guys from India. That's what they do.
Well, I saw Bob talking to her a lot. I did not know who she was. I know Bob recently got married. I sent him a congratulatory note on his marriage about 4 months ago, but I have not met his wife. But Bob just looked very tired and kind of worn out to me, and maybe putting the conference on was really hard this year. Maybe he didn't have as much support as they typically have.
That reminds me of my other point. Tons of speakers didn't show.
Okay, I was not aware of that, but as you remember, I sat out most of the of the talks, because I couldn't handle the Kumbaya stuff as you're talking about. I did go hear some of the technical talks, but I talked with my National Space Society friends out there, Rod and a couple of others that have been guests on the show before. Plus, I spent a lot of time with Brandenburg, and then I skipped one entire day and went down to see Brandenburg and Woodward at Cal State Fullerton.
That was Saturday, right?
No, I went down to Cal State Fullerton on Friday. I was there for only half a day. I was there less than half a day for about 2.5 or 3 hours on Saturday in time to see this guy who I've met, and he's going to be on the show in a week, on nuclear propulsion and nuclear fuel, not necessarily for propulsion this time around, but for on a different planet and stuff. His name is Christopher, and I don't remember his last name, but I wanted to see his presentation. We had lunch together and talked quite a bit at the Mars Society conference. So
he had a good presentation, yeah.
Yeah, he packed the room again. He was another one who packed the room. And then David Brody, who I've known since the days of when he was at the sci-fi thing, who had a very realistic Mars film that he showed parts of that totally flew in the face of all the space cadets and Kumbaya people. But nobody left the room, and they were sitting on the floor listening to Dave because all the seats were taken. And it's a documentary that you can watch for free, and I don't have the name of it, but Dave will be on the show later this year and can promote his own film. But it's a hard-looking, factual reality film about going to Mars and living on Mars, and the people loved it, even the Kumbaya people that you're talking about.
I bailed on the film. I needed to. I was heading off Sunday afternoon for Phoenix. We just purchased a winter home there.
Yeah.
And so I was going over to do some home repairs and stuff, and so I needed to stock up on some supplies before I drove over.
Go ahead. Now, I was going to say it might be on their YouTube page, because they did film most of the presentations and tracks, and it hit David Brody's talk and the excerpts he showed from the film and everything are really worthwhile to watch. It was an exceptionally good talk by David.
Well, there were a couple sessions Sunday night after the rubber chicken and fettuccine dinner that I really wanted to hear, and I had came back there for it. And they said, they're running late. 2 hours after the sessions I came back for hadn't started, they said, the speaker hasn't shown.
Bummer.
Which they could have told us 2 hours earlier, and I would have said, okay, fine.
That was the banquet fine. Saturday night, not Sunday.
That was terrible.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm not surprised, but I'm still sorry to hear that. There were about 150 people there. I've been to better Mars Society conferences. This one lacks some energy, which I've said before. But
if I had to say anything, I would say the organization looks like it's starting to fade away.
Well, I made a comment. God, I don't want to resurrect this on the blog. I may just shut up, but let me see if I can keep my big mouth shut here. I made a comment after on an open line show right after the Mars Society conference, and I said that it was really tired, and it's just a bunch of old white guys that have no ability to reach out to anybody else and to bring in younger people per se and to do anything with any energy or anything like that, and lamenting about not going to Mars or how we're going to go to Mars or whatever. And then that started a rather bizarre blog thing that I don't want to reopen. But,
that's not too far off the mark.
No, it's right on.
There are a lot of old white ladies also.
Well, I didn't see very many ladies, and I have my eyes peeled for them. But I will tell you, the Space Frontier Foundation, which calls themselves now the New Space Conference, has really done a great job in changing that with their focused on commercial space and business panels and venture capital financing. And there are young women and young guys raising money and coming in and talking about their ventures. And they picked up $500,000 here and $1 million there. And they're actually doing real projects. I mean, they have really made a big difference in that conference. And So I think it's being held now in Seattle, unfortunately, right, for me at least, rather than in Silicon Valley. But new space is something you might want to look into since you live in
Seattle. Well, if I'm around in town and it's here, I would probably go.
You know, and so I would recommend that. Of course, AIAA and the Space Foundation, things like that, are a breed of their own, so they're not in this advocate thing. I haven't been to an ISDC conference in a long time, but my understanding is that they're vibrant. They bring in about 1,200 people, and that has a good mixture, and it has fantasy as well as grounded reality. The SmallSat conference has grown to about 2,000 people, very professional, very commercially oriented. So there's not a lot left like the Mars Society conference, and time may be passing them by. I don't know. Explore Mars, for example, with Chris Carberry, is one of the best organizations and advocate organizations and policy groups, and their Humans to Space meeting every spring that they have in Washington, D.C., is a who's who around the world for human spaceflight, legal policy, science, you name it. NASA, ESA, Russia, China. I mean, it is an amazing organization. So unless the Mars Society can somehow rejuvenate itself, and it's got to be more than just Dr. Zubrin, who I think is great. I love Bob. But it's got to be bigger than Bob now. And unless they can get some new blood and new focus and you may be right. It may be the old ways. Maybe the things are not enough.
You know, they're pretty wrapped up in their desert habitat and their University Rover Challenge.
Yeah, it might not be enough.
That doesn't appeal to me, which is fine.
Well, it may not be enough to keep it going strong. I don't know. I'm not in the loop with them, and I hope that they can. I hope that this was not a true representative of the Mars Society organization. If it is, I would say they're kind of marginally in trouble, or maybe more than marginally in trouble. But maybe it was just a bad time in a bad location. I don't know. What else is on your mind?
Maybe this whole focus has moved on from Southern California. Maybe it's happening in other parts of the country, not in Southern California.
Well,
anymore.
It is, but I still think Southern California is a big focus. I mean, come on, everybody's in Southern California, and that's where a lot of the money is and a lot.
They had one or two people from JPL and one person from SpaceX.
Well, but they don't go to the Mars Society conference. I don't think that has to do with Southern California. I think that has to do with the venue and the conference. They do show up at the Humans to Mars conference. You better bet on that one with Chris Carberry's group. Chris used to run the Mars Society conference, by the way. So,
well, maybe that's what happened.
I don't know. It's a different level of funding, a different kind of organization. I don't think that they're comparable. But it may be that the Mars Society needs to broaden some of what it does. I don't know. As I said, I'm not in the loop. I think it's been a great organization, and I hope it can flourish and get stronger.
Well, my brother, that's all I have tonight. Next time I see you, we'll have to do the secret handshake.
Yeah, do you remember it? I don't.
No comment.
I kind of remember a little bit about it, but not a whole lot. All right, listen, I appreciate your call. Thank you, David.
All right, good night.
Good night. And listeners, that was an interesting first call to open lines. Again, anything is fair game. So if you want to give us a call, we would love to hear from you. I never got to thank our sponsors because David was on the phone. So Northrop Grumman is a leading global security company providing innovative systems, products, and solutions for government and commercial customers globally. They have technologies that go from undersea to outer space and cyberspace. The Space Foundation, thespacefoundation.org, is our sponsor. Check them out, especially their space report on the financial growth of both the public as well as private space commerce and businesses around the world. Speaking of Doug Plata, he has the Space Development Network, and that is a sponsor. This is an online organization allowing you to join together with others to advance the plan for space development, and they're looking for people with a wide variety of interest and skill. It's a free network to join. Check them out at spacedevelopment.org. And then also for this first segment, the National Space Society is a sponsor, and in addition to ISDC, they have white papers and panels and meetings on space settlement and other topics and issues and movements that are very close to the heart of many who listen to the Space Show. And their new website is space.nss.org. And we have another caller on the line. This is Mr. Hunt in Fort Worth, Texas. Let me bring him up. Mr. Hunt, how are you today?
Very good. Yeah. You mentioned something on there, and I was it came up, and I also heard a previous caller mentioning it. What did you find? I haven't heard any reports at all from what you found out at Woodward's lab.
I did report on it, but there isn't a lot to report. So number one, I was supposed to meet Brandenburg down there, and my interview was to be with Brandenburg and Woodward. So I got down there, and so first of all, Heidi was in a meeting. So I did get to see her, but not for very long. And Jim was extremely soft-spoken. I mean, really, really soft-spoken.
Yeah.
And if I had put my microphone in his mouth, I'm not sure I could have picked it up very easily. So I waited thinking that Brandenburg was going to show up, and then I'd turn the recorder on and do sort of an official thing with Brandenburg adding color and information and all of that. Well, Brandenburg was 2.5 hours late, taking care of some personal business because he has recently settled in the area in a town really near Cal State Fullerton. And apparently he had to take care of some stuff related to moving or phone numbers or so, who knows what. And so Jim and I sat there for an off-the-record talk. And again, he's very soft-spoken. And we talked about his progress. And we talked about people that on the space show say that the movement he is getting with the experiment, or what they believe is the effect, is an artifact of the experiment. And he went into great detail, most of which was over my head, in terms of physics, of why he does not think that's right. And then he talked about this upcoming Advanced Propulsion Conference, which was going to happen in Estes Park, Colorado, and he made arrangements for me to go. But unfortunately, I could not go, and this had to do with my staying in L.A. longer to be with my son and some health issues with me, and the fact that I had just been to the Mars Society for a week, and I really didn't think I could take another week off to fly to Colorado and kill the show for a week and all of that. So Jim and I had a really nice off the record talk about all of this stuff. I did not record it, and I did not take notes. As I said, I'm not sure that had I turned the recorders on, I could have picked much of it up. He was so soft-spoken. Some of it was very, very hard for me to hear. Many of you who know me personally know that I don't hear that well anymore, and it was very hard for me to hear. And then Brandenburg came, and we talked about some of the activities that Brandenburg does, and then Jim had to go to some kind of a board or advisory meeting for the group that backs his efforts. And I said goodbye to Jim around 12:30, and Brandenburg and I went to lunch, and we spent the afternoon together. And then I drove back and went back to the hotel room around 5 o'clock at night. I did not go back to the Mars Society for the keynote speaking talks that night. So I will tell you that Jim has gotten NIAC funding, and he says the overhead on that is about 44%, and so that's a lot of overhead that they pay on all of that, and most of what they're funding are salaries for people like Brandenburg and Paul March and others to work on the project. So not as much of the NIAC II money directly goes to research, unless you think salaries are directly related to research, and I guess they are in many ways. But he's very optimistic, but he's getting up there in years. And, you know, he has been... he's had his share of illness. I don't feel like I'm at liberty to talk much about his health, but he said he, you know, by all rights, you know, should have been dead a long time ago. And he would like to see a lot of progress in his lifetime, but he'd also like to see some people take it over who could really run with it and make it happen. And he'd like to kind of fade off into retirement and just fiddle with his experiments. But I don't think he has anybody in mind that has Jim's persona and his knowledge and his expertise. I mean, you've met him. I mean, this guy really does know his stuff. I mean, you know, there's no. I mean, he has the best people working with him. He has good reviewers. I mean, he has so much credibility. It just ekes out of the corners in the room at Cal State. And by the way, they put him into a much smaller lab because another group in physics working with gravity waves got a lot of funding, and they expanded. And so for those of you who know academic research, space is directly related to how much money you bring in, right? It's not related to, you know, it's all political and money. And Jim said that he hoped by the end of the year or the first of next year they will be back in a much larger space, because they definitely need more space than what they have right now. And there's politics with the gravity wave people, there's politics with this group and that group, and you know, Cal State's not Stanford or Berkeley, so you know, there's politics in academia all over the place, even at a much smaller institution like Cal State. But I continue to be very impressed with Jim and his work. He added me to his newsletter, and he does send out a newsletter that details the progress of what he's doing on in kind of summary form. And I've gotten two copies of his newsletter so far. And he doesn't hide the mailing list on his newsletter. So I go through who the recipients are on the newsletter, and it's like a who's who of predominant physicists in the world. I mean, it's unbelievable. Now, whether everyone on the newsletter opens the email or they trash it, who knows? I mean, I don't even know if people open the Space Show newsletter, you know, for all I know. But if you ever wanted to know the email address for this or that globally famous or infamous physicist or astrophysicist, Woodward's mailing list would be one of the primary sources. I mean, it's amazing just from that perspective alone. So I did get added to it, and I don't know if I'm free to discuss on the Space Show any of the things he writes about in the newsletter. I mean, maybe he would let me sort of highlight and read parts of it on open line shows, and that way I could keep you guys updated. I think that's a fair question for me to ask Jim, if he would have any problem with my doing that on his newsletters, and see if he would give me permission to do that. I wouldn't do it without his permission. But he's going strong. He's got money. He has a lot more money than when you and I were down there 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And, you know, he's got some new equipment. And Paul March, who was part of that Eagle team with Sonny when they were doing M-Drive, is working with him. He's down in Texas someplace. I think he's maybe near Houston, because they were at NASA Johnson. And he's got Brandenburg, who moved down there. and he's got a couple of other people, I forget their name. So he's got a bigger operation working and doing experiments and trying to scale it up. He did say that they need to do really massive scale up, not just the little incremental pieces that they're doing now, but they really need to prove it out in a much more convincing way to get more funding. And that seems to be the bugaboo always, the choke point. What do you have to do to get more funding and to convince more people? So I hope he is able to do it. If he died or was incapacitated before he got it to the next level, I don't know that there would be a good successor for his project, and that would worry me. But again, I'm not privy to the inner workings of his systems there with Heidi and all the other people that are there. He may very well have successors, and he just didn't share the information with me. But that would concern me, that who's there to carry on. But listeners, you've heard me express the same thing. If something happened to Elon Musk, who is there at SpaceX to carry on the visionary side of SpaceX and the innovative side? There's no doubt that Gwen can run a great launching business for satellites and make money. There's nothing that tells me Gwen would not be outstanding in that field. But it's not her vision and innovation and charisma and track record that brings in the private funding. You know, that's Musk. So what is the game plan where Musk to somehow be incapacitated?
There's always a risk there.
Yeah, it's always a risk when you have private operations with superstars running at the helm.
But the Woodward risk is much higher than the Musk risk.
Well, because he's older and he has health issues.
Yes, well, I sure hope he's excited. It's good to hear that they're getting funded. Now, I care that, in other words, Woodward is actually working for him now. He's an employee. Is that what
you mean, Brandenburg?
I
don't know if his relationship is employee or independent contractor. I don't know the exact.
But some, I mean, he's basically being receiving funding to do this work.
Right, and so is, as I understand, Paul Mark and Woodward and Brandenburg goes to the office all the time. With Woodward and Heidi, you know, Paul March is out there in Houston, so that's a different story. I wanted to get Paul March on the show when he was at EagleWorks, and he wouldn't do it. But I have emailed and talked to him before. But I'm thinking now of asking Woodward if I can use him as a reference and see if I could get Paul March.
Somebody
to come
could
on
get
the
on
show.
There to give a discussion or. Oh, or you could get Brandenburg on to discuss it again if Woodward would give permission.
Brandenburg, I can land on the show at any time.
He could describe what the progress status is, maybe, if he was given permission.
He has to be cleared to talk about the inner workings. Even if you had been there, and we went down there, and Heidi had not been in the room. She was at a meeting, and it was just you and me and Woodward. I honestly don't think we could have effectively recorded much of what he said. I don't think that I could have ramped the audio up that much because he was so soft-spoken, much more so than
he was before.
That was
why I was suggesting Brandenburg, because if he could do the talking, if you will, if he learned what the... but again, that would have to be obviously authorized. I understand that. He could give a report that that we could go on the air, where Woodward would probably not be able to do it as well.
Anyway, that's kind of the summary, which is not really a summary. But if he would let me read parts of his newsletter on air, those would be good updates for
that would be nice.
For the
yeah,
space
I mean,
show. So I will ask him if I can do that.
Yeah, that'd be fine. I know. Could you forward copies of the newsletter to me, or would that be an unauthorized thing?
I wouldn't do it without his permission, but okay. I could ask him.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I'd be interested to read some of it.
He met you, so I could say you were with me the last time we did a show from you with Heidi, and would it be okay with you if I forward John, since you know him, your newsletters? And see
I can assure him I won't set up a competitive lab.
No, I just don't know that he wants them circulated without people that he knows. But he does know you, so...
Yeah, that'd be good, yeah.
I'll find out and I'll let you know.
Well, that'd be great. One thing about his approach, he does sort of have a theoretical basis for it in established science, which a lot of these other things have a more controversial nature to them, you know, in terms of, you know, it is based sort of on relativity theory, general relativity theory, you know.
Yeah, he says he doesn't need new physics or anything to do what he's doing. So,
I did once attempt to actually go through his derivation, and I think I was able to pretty much, go through it all. There's a bunch of steps in it. It's very engineering style, you know, derivation. It's not the kind of thing a pure math person would love. Let's put it that way. But I think it stands up like most physics engineering. You know how they kind of, do things. they know to assume a spherical turkey when they have to solve a problem, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, let me email him and see if he'll let me share the newsletters with you and to read some of the contents of the newsletters.
I'd appreciate that. Well, that's good. I'm just glad to hear he's, making progress and moving ahead.
The NIAC-2 money gets used up and doesn't renew, so he has to apply for it all over again, which, as I understood, I think he was going to apply for it again for another round.
Yeah, so the M drive people giving up now, or what do they think?
I don't know. I'm not updated on M drive at all.
They had this German group that tried to throw cold water on them, and
Woodward commented on that group, and I don't remember exactly what he said, but I don't know. The Eagle Works broke up, and I don't know what Sonny's doing, and I think Paul is doing his own thing. And there was a third person that was part of Eagle Works, and I don't remember who that was. But I don't know. I don't know what is happening with M Drive, and it certainly has dropped out of the news, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, the thing about that is there's a lot. I've never seen anybody directly. I mean, I've seen qualitative statements about, hey, the theory isn't good, but I've never seen anybody directly attack it mathematically, and just say, where the real error is. I suspect there could be one, but,
Well, I don't know that math plays a big part in it.
Well,
because
the original,
violating, the law of
the original
of
theory was based on a mathematical argument, that a lot of people, I think, in the mainstream said, nah, that's doesn't hold water. I've never seen anybody say, okay, here's where the flaw is,
Well,
which it may be there. I just,
Well, they say it for it to work, it has to violate conservation, and that's where people turn their eyes and lose interest in it.
Well, they all sort of, the thing that Woodward's got for them in general relativity is general relativity kind of does weird stuff like that anyhow, because after all, it gets into things like how the universe began, that kind of thing. So, not to get detailed, but... All right. Well, thanks a lot. I just wanted to kind of see what you found out, because it is a useful, interesting project out there.
Okay. I will let you know what Woodward tells me.
Okay.
Thank you, John.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. That was a long call, too. Two long calls already on interesting topics, but I would have never thought of throwing those out for discussion. If you want to call us on Open Lines Tuesday, it is 1-866-687-7223. Any topic related to space, science, engineering, Department of Defense space, the Space Force, who knows what, space law, all fair game, okay? Property rights, some of the favorite topics there, deep space mining. Recent shows, you may want to comment on some of the recent programming we've had on the space show. So I'm going to take us to break because it is that time. And the toll-free number, and I will answer the line during the break, 1-866-687-7223. So hopefully more of you will want to give us a call. I'll be back in about 3 minutes.
The Space Show thanks its listeners for their generous support. The Space Show now joins forces with the One Giant Leap Foundation to further advance space education and the establishment of a spacefaring society and culture in America and the world. One Giant Leap Foundation is a tax-exempt organization with the purpose of advancing space education and development along with the Space Show. Your support of the Space Show and One Giant Leap Foundation helps get the word out as to why space is so essential and important to us all. So join with us by going to www.thespaceshow.com and clicking on the Support the Space Show button. Your contribution will help the Space Show and One Giant Leap Foundation in continuing its work and bringing you the programming you want free of charge on a continued basis. And remember, your gift to the Space Show is tax deductible.
I'm Dr. David Livingston, creator and host of the Space Show, and I would like to share my vision with you for not only this radio program, but for space development. Space should be like any other place we choose to visit, work in, or call our home. It should be just another destination, like Tahiti, Hawaii, or any place available to us right now on Earth. When this vision becomes reality, we will be spacefaring in our culture, our economy, our society, and in our lives. Our world will be vastly improved by countless space-related benefits, transforming our lives both in space and right here on Earth. And the Space Show is helping to make this vision a global reality. And good evening, everybody. Welcome back to part two of Open Lines Tuesday on the Space Show. I'm your host, David Livingston. We do have some second segment sponsors. The Integrated Space Plan is a highly detailed development chart showing the path to becoming a spacefaring race. You can see how technologies and destinations build upon one another, explore hundreds of individual elements in more detail, and go visit them at thespaceplan.com. You can also buy your own copy, full size, of the space plan. It comes in an academic version and a general version. It's very inspiring. You can hang it on the wall. You could even frame it. So remember to check it out at thespaceplan, all one word, .com. AIAA is a sponsor of the American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics. They have five annual forums or conferences: SciTech, Defense, Aviation, Propulsion and Energy, and Space. The space program just ended in Orlando, Florida. They bring together like-minded aerospace pros from across the country, industry, academia, government, actually from around the world, for a blend of plenary sessions, in-depth Forum 360 programming, robust technical programming, and networking that is really incredible. So check them out at AIAA.org and join it if you can, and hope to see you at some AIAA events that you won't regret going. Celestis is also a sponsor, and remember that they are still the only proven provider of Memorial Spaceflight Services in the world. And you can do advanced planning if you have a loved one whose ashes or DNA you want to send to space. You can send on a lunar flight. That's coming up in New Zealand. Cape Canaveral orbital flights, New Mexico, Spaceport America, suborbital, and Vandenberg flights, and maybe later on, beyond low Earth orbit, other than the moon, maybe to Mars. You can also join your DNA with that of your loved one or your loved one's ashes. For more information about a Celestis Memorial flight, which is very, very moving, very closing, and having done it three times, it's an incredible experience. So you need to contact Celestis, www.celestis.com, and tell them you heard about them on the Space Show. And as I said, I'm a three-time customer with them. So we are on open lines tonight, and the line is available if you would like to give us a call and talk about anything that is on your mind. 866-687-7223 is our toll-free number. Email is drspace@thespaceshow.com. And hopefully we'll get some more calls, or we'll realize that Tuesday's not a good night for open lines. So while we're waiting to see if somebody else wants to call us or send us an email, let me tell you what we have in store in upcoming space show programs, because we are booking shows toward the end of the year. In fact, speaking about the end of the year, even though this is a long ways off, we've already booked Tom Olson for Sunday, December 30th, for his annual end-of-the-year summary for the space community, for the commercial space industry. And I think Tom has done it every year that the space show has been around. So this would be, I believe, his 17th year. I'll have to count that. Maybe he missed a few of the early years, but he's been doing it all along for a long, long time. That's Sunday, December 30th. And he is on the schedule on the website newsletter. If you open that up and scroll down, you will see the shows that we have planned. So a show coming up has Liz Kennett, and she's going to update us on Teachers in Space, and that's this Friday morning, 9:30 to 10:30 California time. Dan Adamo is with us with a special presentation on telepresence and doing things remotely, and we put a paper up on the blog for his show for Sunday, September 30th, which you should review before the show, because it really explains what he's talking about and how it works and why it's so important. So again, that's Dan Adamo on September 30th. The gentleman who I was trying to remember, the nuclear guy from the Mars Society conference, Christopher Morrison, and he is Tuesday, October 2nd. That's next week, I guess, right? Wow, time is really flying. Many of you have requested I have Dr. J. Melosh, if I'm saying his name correctly, M-E-L-O-S-H, from Purdue. Jay is on the line with us Friday morning, October 5th. That's a recommendation from many of you calling in to talk to another guest or on open lines. We do have an October 7th Sunday open line show. Bernie Taylor just signed up for October 9th, and that's going to be about space and astronomy and mythology, and it's really, really cool. So you'll hear more about this show as we get closer to October 9th. A scholar, Dr. Namrata Goswami, if I'm doing this correctly, is with us on Friday, October 12th, to talk about the Space Force. Well-known author, leading thinker in the UK, Colin Stewart, is our guest on October 14th, and his new book is How to Live in Space. Ryan Kobrick, who used to be on the show all the time with Yuri's Night and some other programming when he was still working on his PhD and other things. He's now over, I think he's at University of Central Florida. No, he's at Emory Riddle. And he is going to talk about hashtag Dear Moon. And this has a lot to do with the artist who bought the ticket or the spaceship to go to the moon with Elon Musk on the BFR, and taking artists with him. But I'll let Ryan talk to you more about that. That's October 15th. Michelle Evans, who is our go-to person on X-15 and a lot of other things, is going to review the First Man movie, which comes out in this area October 12th. Michelle is on October 16th. She was a consultant to the movie for the Edwards Air Force part of the Neil Armstrong story. She's going to see the movie, and I'm going to try to see it before the 16th as well, and we're going to sort of do a movie review together. Eric Seathouse returns to the Space Show October 22nd. We have another Sunday open lines program October 28th. Dr. Kirsten Cybak from Rice University, who talks on Mars, is going to be with us on Monday, October 29th. She's some really interesting lectures and talks and work on Mars. And then another U.S. Space Force program, Dr. Dean Chang. He's very pro the Space Force. He's going to be on Tuesday, October 30th. Mark Raymond comes back. Remember, he is the guy we go to on the Ceres mission. He's going to talk about the final mission for Ceres and for that project. He's talked about it before, but now it's happened. Mike Wall, who's a journalist, and he's been on the show with us before, has a brand new book out. It's, I believe, about extraterrestrials or searching for ET. He's on November 9th, Dr. Mike Wall. Dr. Ken Davidian is on Friday, November 16th. Bobby Braun, who has been on the show a couple of times when he was with NASA and Georgia Tech, as an aerospace engineer, landing big payloads on Mars, things like that. He now runs the aerospace department at UC Boulder, UC Colorado in Boulder. So Bobby's going to be on the program Friday, December 14th. Michael Listener with our legal year in review is December 16th. And then Kim Holder with her promised Moonwords review and updates, December 28th, Friday, December 28th. And as I said, Tom Olson with his end of the year summary, and he will be back December 30th. No show on Monday, December 31st, New Year's Eve. So that's what's in store for the space show coming up. We still don't have any calls, so I this may be a short call. This could be a short program of 1 hour. Doesn't appear that anybody wants to call in or send an email, so maybe Tuesday night for open lines is not such a hot idea. Doesn't sound like too many people want to listen. You can't tear yourself away from the new TV season that's starting this week, right? So if nobody wants to give us a call, let me see if there's any topics that I want to bring to your attention real quick. I'm going to look through my list and just make a quick check that I'm not leaving anything out. So again, we have the Chinese conference that we talked about last time in the women's contest that we talked to Kim about. So this is with the International Lunar Observatory Association. If you want to find out about it, go to ILOA.org if you want to enter the contest. I think maybe there's a couple more days open for you to enter the contest. I'm not sure. Okay? So check it out. What else can we talk about? Japan is testing, this is kind of weird, Japan is testing a space elevator. They are testing a mini space elevator. So this was on physics.org. The headline is Going Up, Japan to Test Mini Space Elevator. And it's got a date of September 4th of this year. A Japanese team working to develop a space elevator will conduct a first trial this month, blasting off a miniature version on satellites to test the technology. The test equipment produced by researchers at Shizuki, I guess that's how you pronounce it, Shukasokoa University, will hitch a ride on the H-2B rocket being launched by Japan's space agency from the southern island of Tangashima next week. So it's already been launched. The test involves a miniature elevator stand in a box just 6 centimeters, 2.4 inches long, 3 centimeters wide, and 3 centimeters high. If all goes well, it will provide a proof of concept by moving along a 10-meter cable suspended in space between two mini satellites that will keep it taut. So if you want to read about it, I told you how to find the article. So go check it out yourself and see what you want to do. I don't think there's a whole lot of other issues. Oh, Mattel, the toy company, has made a model of Dream Chaser as a toy. So this was dated September 17th, and it comes from Sierra Nevada. And we do have a phone call. But America's next generation space plane will soon be available in stores. Mattel Incorporated, toy maker, is releasing a Sierra Nevada Corporation Dream Chaser spacecraft matchbox toy, which will be sold in stores starting in September. So this is a news release from Sierra Nevada. You can probably find it on their website. And if you go to toy stores or you look online, maybe at Amazon or other toy places, you can find the Mattel Sierra Nevada Corporation Dream Chaser. So that may make a cool holiday gift for some of you if you're interested. I wouldn't mind having a model of Dream Chaser sitting on my desk. I haven't gone to see how big it is or anything like that, but seems pretty cool. We do have a caller on the line, and I think it's Marshall. Hang on. Callers, welcome to the Space Show. Is this Marshall?
Yeah.
What's on your mind? You almost missed it since nobody's...
Yeah, well, I got basically a sinus headache, and I've been working all day, so my mind's been on other things. But I did happen to look at space.com, and there's a very interesting article. It's the first time I've ever seen space.com feature an article on lava tubes. And it's talking about instruments. They're running through the lava tubes in Northern California. And it's kind of like, okay, they're basically using instruments to kind of say, hey, there's a big chamber out there, or there's a narrow spot out there, you know, what kind of mass is between me and a chamber and so on like that.
What's the date? Then, what's the date of this article?
Well, let me roll up here. I think it's dated, yeah, September 25th, today.
Do you have it there? Can you email it to me, and I'll put it in the archives?
Well, it's on space.com. Our moon cave safe for astronauts? Earth's lava tubes can help us find out. And I'd have to figure out how to pick it up and move it. And, I mean, it is space.com's article, so, you
well,
know.
Well, it has a distinct URL, probably.
Probably does. It's just that... as I said, it was something that popped up that I found terribly interesting. And I'd like to say that, I cannot see, you know, like going to the moon, having much of a moon base that's on the surface. I really think it anything after the initial habitats has to be, you know, fairly deep down for protection from radiation and micrometeorites and so on. And let's face it, if a lava tube has been there for, you know, 500 million years, hey, it's probably fairly stable.
There's also on SpaceX, space.com, a note that SpaceX plans to live stream their moon tourist flight in HD reality. So, boy, I guess the guy's not going to have any privacy on that flight, right, unless he can shut it off.
Well, my first thought on that one was Apollo 13. How many cameras did they have? Oh, yeah. And how big were the cameras at the time? Okay. What we have in our... you know, in your computer, the little camera so that you can do voice over the internet.
Yeah,
it's, 2 million pixels or something like that. That weighed, 30 pounds back in the Apollo days. They had a little privacy because they couldn't afford to, you know, video stream because it would just drain their old electrical power. Nowadays, you know, that's nothing. It's pretty much going to be video cameras in every place except the body. And wait a minute, where you're living for, let's see, Apollo 8 was 6 days? You're living in a little capsule, and it's everything for 6 whole days. Boy, there's no modesty there at all.
So space.com also has the Dream Chaser toy on it. It looks pretty cool. I may go. I'm trying to see if it tells you how much it is, but it looks like a really cool toy version of the Dream Chaser. You have it sitting on my desk would be great.
I remember when I was, I guess I was like in senior in high school, I think. They had the plastic models. You remember the old plastic models that you glued together of the Saturn V?
Uh-huh.
And I had that thing for years before my kids broke it.
Well, I want to get one of these, so we'll see if I can't find the price for it.
Yeah, well, believe me, they will eventually put out the price.
I'm sure it's going to be outrageously costly. Here, Dream Chaser space plane to land is Matchbox Skybusters toys. I don't know what Matchbox Skybusters. I guess that's a line of Mattel. I don't know.
All my kids are grown, and I'm probably going to die of grandchildren. So, that's a little out of my league, too.
Well, this is for me to motivate me to have on my desk. But I don't see a price anyplace, but I see it in the package. It's 3.5 inches long by it's 1/1000th the size of the actual orbital aircraft. But won't they tell you the damn price?
Well, that's salesmanship for you. We're engineer types. You know, we don't understand marketing.
Well, at least you don't have to put it together. It's already put together. So
I'm sorry. Putting things together is the fun part. In fact, I used to... when my daughter did the 3D puzzle of the Millennium Falcon, it's like 1,000 parts.
Right.
We hid the instructions for the first day and a half because, you know, we were just having fun putting it together. It's cheating to actually look at the, the assembly instructions. But,
well,
hey, we got it to work.
I'm looking. They got a lot of telescopes that make great gifts for kids. I've never seen so many kids' telescopes and binoculars in my life.
Yeah.
But nothing about, I can't find, here's a Lego Apollo Saturn building kit. That's a kit for kids. I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
I want the Dream Chaser.
I was
looking on their website, and I can't find, your article about lava tubes. That's why I was looking on the website.
Space.com,
Our
moon cave's safe for astronauts. And I figure you could Google it and it'll pop up. But
I guess so. So I don't know. Maybe I'm not looking in the right place.
Yeah. But the key thing about lava tubes is they have a strong tendency to have a flat bottom because as the lava flows down, it... cools off and solidifies like water. So it generally has a flat floor, which makes it ideal for, us humans to work on. The other thing that's interesting is they pretty well detected lava tubes on Mars and the moon. I am not sure if they've picked up anything on any of the asteroids yet, but then we have a very limited amount of data. But basically, there's lava tubes any place that there's a volcano.
Okay. What else?
Well, that's all the fun I've had today, unless you want to go into aeronautical engineering, which is not a topic for the space show. So
too late at night, Marshall.
Yeah, well, it's too in the middle of the day. I'm working on it, and it's not necessarily coming together even then.
All right. Thank you for your call, Marshall.
Until next time, bye.
Bye. Marshall has left the stage, listeners, so if you would like to give us a call, we'd like to hear from you. And the toll-free number is 1-866-687-7223. So let us hear from you quickly, because otherwise, if it's we're not going to have any traffic, I'll scale the program back down, and we will say goodnight to everybody. A couple of other things. We still have quite a few dates left for the end of the year. We are filling up October very, very rapidly. But we have November and we have December. But keep in mind, in November and December, we do have holiday days off with Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. But if you have guests that you would like to get us to have on the show or recommend somebody, please don't delay in sending those recommendations to us. Guests also get busy during the holidays, and it's not a good time for several people. So keep that in mind, and there still is time to book your favorite guest for the space show for this year if their schedule is okay on it. So we want to hear from you. And then I want to remind everybody that we're going to be launching our annual space show fundraising campaign. Usually launches a little bit before Thanksgiving. So we have all of October, and so we have about 6 weeks, 5 weeks before we're going to go into our annual fundraising campaign. And that is what allows us to operate for 2019, and hopefully it will be a very good year, because we require funding support for the space show, and you hear me say that all the time, and we do really appreciate those of you who do support us, and we hope a lot more of you will support us. Well, it doesn't look like I'm going to get any other calls for Open Lines Tuesday, so I'm not sure I will plan another Open Lines program for Tuesday. So, listeners, those of you who, I don't think we even got any emails tonight. We went almost directly to phone calls, starting with David and then John. So, listeners, those of you who called us, David, John, and Marshall, I want to thank you very much for your participation and your phone calls. And again, we have great programming coming up, and hopefully you will be interested in it. So as I said, this Friday is Liz Kennick with Teachers in Space, and then Dan Adamo on Sunday. And one other thing, Hotel Mars, you know, Hayabusa 2 landed on its asteroid. So we have the Planetary Society with us on Hotel Mars tomorrow. Jason Davis is on, and we're going to update Hayabusa 2. And hopefully Bachelor will get it archived shortly after we do the pre-record tomorrow afternoon, and you won't have to wait too long. But we're still waiting for Bill Harwood's show from last week to get archived regarding Orion. So, listeners, that's about it. We thank the three of you again for calling us, and we hope everybody has a great rest of the week. And as we like to say, keep looking up. Good night from the space show, and good night from David.